Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of We Like Your Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another edition of One on One, and I am coming to you from the Electronic Entertainment Expo in Los Angeles, and I am being joined right now by Nick Yu, the producer of probably one of the hotly anticipated video games coming out this year, a game that I'm so proud to have been able to help out with the Kickstarter, Mighty Number 9. I played it yesterday, I had so much fun. So, first of all, thank you so much for joining me here. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. And first of all, thank you for being a backer and supporting us. It's great to hear.
Well, when I was first hearing about this, no one knew exactly what was going to be announced. But as soon as it was like, oh, Keiji Inafune is making a new game, and it's going to be a spiritual successor to Mega Man, and I just went, you know what? Here's the money. I'm going to buy it. I hope it happens. And what was it? Less than 48 hours, you guys hit the goal.
We hit our initial goal in 30-some hours. I cannot remember because I was on flight back to Japan with Inafune from PAX. And as soon as I landed, I found Inafune in the lounge, and he was like, we made it. I was like, yes.
So that must have been a fantastic feeling, because what I love about Kickstarter is like there's so many developers that are going to that now, and they are saying, look, here's the game that we really want to make. You know, maybe some of the bigger ups are saying, no, you can't really do that anymore, but you guys are going out there and proving them wrong, and I love it when that happens.
Well, I'm not sure proving wrong is what everyone's thinking, but you know, in our case, you know, Inafune has always been a huge fan of action games, and he loves making action games, and, you know, a 2D platformer is, you know, it's his thing, right?
Yeah.
So once our agent came up to us saying, why don't we do a Kickstarter project, and immediately Inafune was like, okay, let's make a 2D platformer. Let's gather some team members and start this whole thing.
So with this Kickstarter, the initial idea for Mighty Number 9 must have been just a little bit smaller, but how big of a project did it become once after the whole initial Kickstarter ended?
Well, originally we only had about half of the stretch goals we put out there right now planned. So the rest of the stretch goals, we actually planned them during our Kickstarter campaign, because we're getting bunch of feedbacks and comments in Kickstarter page and in the community. We're like, you know what, we cannot just ignore these comments and feedbacks. We have to make this happen, right?
Yes.
So we're gathering the team like Sunday, Saturday, weekends. We're having like 10, 11 hours meetings. We talk about, you know, what can we do for these guys, for these you know, people who wants our game. So we ended up adding like lots of stretch goals to the initial campaign, and after the campaign, you know, we're in the development, and ever since last year's TGS period, we started talking with publishers to, you know, bring this game to retails, and that's when we met with Deep Silver, mm-hmm. And now, you know, this partnership is happening. We're bringing Mighty Number 9, the originally only thought about for digital download game.
Yeah.
Now to retails all over the world, and not just that, or with more contents and localized version for, you know, different regions of the world, and you know, this thing just became, you know, at least 100 times bigger than we originally thought.
And I think you guys partnered up with a great company. I'm not just saying that because Heather from Deep Silver is here in the room with us, but I do have to say that Deep Silver has never disappointed me with their games, with from Dead Island to the recent Saints Row. You picked a great company to
bring. Yeah, we totally agree. They've been great with us so far. And then if something else should happen, say, you know, sequels, spin-off, you know, they're definitely the first one we're going to start talking with.
Absolutely, and I really am crossing my fingers that this does become a really huge
franchise. Two of us.
So you were talking about meetings initially, about doing like some things, new stretch goals and such, and I'm curious, was there a stretch goal that you yourself really wanted to do, but sadly found itself on the cutting room floor?
Actually, there are some, but I'm not going to tell you what they are, because we might use them for another game or a sequel or something. So, let's just say there were some stuff that we wanted to do, but we couldn't.
So that means I may have to come back to you whenever, if a sequel ever happens, and be like, is this one of the ideas I'm kind of
I don't know, maybe next year E3, perhaps?
Ooh, interesting. So, you were talking about making Mighty No. 9 a big franchise, and there's a lot that's going to be happening with that. If I'm not mistaken, you got the anime series that is premiering early next year, I want to say?
That's when we announced, yes. But that project is handled by a totally different company and a totally different team, even though we own the IP and we support them with, you know, assets and feedbacks and, you know, approval process. But that's handled by Digital Frontier.
Digital Frontier, okay.
And, you know, I know people have been asking about the project a lot, and I know why, because we announced that project almost a year ago at Anime Expo, and we haven't seen anything ever since. I know people are kind of curious about what's going on with that game, and at this point, I can't really say anything, but I can say it's still going, and there's definitely something happening right now, and hopefully we can announce that soon enough.
Well, I hope so, too. I know we kind of sidetracked about talking about the anime. Let's talk about the actual video game itself. As I mentioned, I played it a little bit yesterday. Really enjoyed it. But going into a game like this, I always forget that because it's a Keiji Inafune game, it's going to have the Inafune trademarked difficulty in the game. Very challenging. It's one of those. It's the type where you have to think outside the box, because there are going to be some traps and puzzle areas and dangerous zones that you're going to need to pick the right power up in order to get through.
Right.
So, in regards to these sorts of power ups, for the gamers who are going to be jumping in on this, who've never played anything like this before, what's the best strategy you can give to our listeners when it comes to playing a game like Mighty No. 9?
I'm not sure if this is a strategy or if this is helpful or not, but I'll say try to beat the game without using any power-ups.
I don't know if that's possible.
Because, you know what, it's totally possible, because that's how we made the game. You don't have to use any power-ups throughout the whole stage, throughout the whole game. But you kind of need to learn about the abilities, because that's not just another weapon or a bullet. It's actual abilities. And right. Like you said, you sometimes, you know, some areas of the stage, those abilities will help you get through them easier. And in some later stages, you actually require to use those abilities to solve puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, first of all, just get to know each ability, get to know the stages, and then plan your way through. And I'm pretty sure that my strategy is going to be different from, you know, other person's strategy, because we don't play the same way. I might, like, you know, keep my distance from far away and shoot them from this set distance, but some people might just, you know, get closer with a melee weapon and, you know, hack them through or something like that. I don't know.
That'd be cool. Yeah, because it's kind of one of those sorts of games where there's going to be multiple ways to figure out how to get things done, and it's not going to jump out at you right at that moment.
No.
You're going to have to die a lot until you figure out, all right, maybe if I try this, oh, there it goes.
Especially with this new feature, Absorption Dash.
Mm-hmm.
I know people are getting, you know, totally trigger happy with the dash, because it moves fast, it feels great, and, you know, you can defeat enemies really fast without it. So it kind of, you know, make them really want to use the dash a lot, but at the same time, that the dash will actually kill you a lot.
Yeah, if you're too close.
You're gonna run into enemies and spikes with that dash.
And I actually did that quite a lot with my demo. So I gotta ask you guys, what has to be your favorite part of Mighty No. 9? If you can pick something about it.
Let's say about, you know what, I'm gonna tell you my favorite stage.
Okay.
My favorite stage and also favorite boss is by far number 6, Aviator.
Whoa.
Because his stage, when he first came out, when he first Integrates made the stage and gave it to us in the build, it was hard as hell. Nobody could even go through the halfway of the stage because it was so hard. Because the stage is in a radio tower. Mm. Basically, you just have to climb the tower to the top, and throughout at halfway of the stage, you know, there won't be any platforms left for you. You actually have to jump a lot, and then one section, there's no platform at all. You actually have to keep dashing in mid-air, and with this rising air, you kind of have to fly your way up towards the towards boss. So that was, you know, really refreshing and fun stage play. And the boss battle was just not fair to anybody. I don't think anybody in the team could beat the boss because there's three small platforms in the boss area.
Yeah.
And if you fall, you die. That's instant death from the boss area.
So who's the only person who's ever beaten it that was on the team?
I have never seen one person beating that boss stage at that level.
So I have to ask, have you seen anybody who's been at this convention or even past conventions that has beaten it yet?
Not even one person.
Whoa.
Mm. You know what, the stage is much easier now because it wasn't fair at all. That was just mean. So, you know, when I played it and he thought that was just too much and then told Indie Chris, you know, make it easier and make it, you know, more, I guess, fair to the player. So now it's much, much more mild, per se. So you won't die as easy as before, but still, you're going to die a lot.
Yeah. Like I said, this is trademark Inafune. You are going to die until you figure it out for yourself. And they take it 20, 30, 40 times, but you'll figure it out somehow. So what I got to talk about, too, is the fact that the fan base community, even as the Kickstarter was going on, grew at a rapid pace. There were people posting fan pictures of it. You saw even tributes to it online already of, like, video game base, sprite base. Anything you can think of, these people created a special homage to Mighty No. 9. And I have to ask, what went through your mind when you saw how much of a phenomenon that this character, whose game hadn't even come out yet, has become?
Right. I mean, the game is, as of now, it's only about 2 years old. You know, from the start of the Kickstarter until now, it's not even 2 years old yet. And by the time we were finished with our Kickstarter, you know, the amount of fan art, you know, fan-made, you know, anything, it's almost like the game has been around for like 10 years. It's a long-run franchise.
Yeah.
It's to that point. So it's just overwhelming, and we're so grateful to see that reaction from the fans. You know, that really encourages us and, you know, motivated us with that much of love, so we're you know, grateful and thankful for the text.
And it's great to see something like that. Now, for my final question for you is, for those who have not been fully convinced yet to pick up Mighty No. 9, I want you to tell them why they should play it.
You know, this game, it's, you know, if you're old school, hardcore, and 2D platform fans, definitely pick it up. I'm pretty sure you will like it. And the game has, you know, 4 difficulty levels. It will be, you know, challenging enough for every one of the hardcore fans. And if you're not used to this kind of game, this game is really, you know, easy to get into, easy to understand. Like you said, you know, 5 minutes into the game, you'll understand the core mechanic of the game. And
yes.
Then from there, it's just about, you know, practice and getting better. And you can really feel and see how better you're getting, you know, from the results screen or, you know, from just, you know, how fast you can beat the game. So for everyone, you know, just give it a shot. You will like it.
And I really hope so, too. Nick, thank you so much for joining me here on
thank
One-on-One.
Me.
Mighty No. 9, coming on practically every single console. You got Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS4, PS3, PlayStation Vita, 3DS, and Nintendo Wii U. September 15th from Concept and Deep Silver. Please go out and buy it whenever it comes out. And thank you once again. I am so stoked about this game, and after playing it, I am even more happier to finally see it be brought to life.
Thank you very much.